Bibles to the book of St. Mark. After 46 years, the puzzle begins to come together a little better than it had. But please, let's give our hearts attention to the word of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is what John was preaching in the wilderness. We know that the book of Malachi and Isaiah prophesied of John the Baptist. And verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And please understand, there had been 400 years of really nothing happening within the synagogue. Verse 5, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey. Aren't you glad you know his diet? It's amazing the thing just the Lord just, oh, by the way, just so you'll know, this is what he ate. I'm surprised somebody hasn't come up with a Christian. As much as Christianity gets merchandised in so many areas, I'm surprised somebody hasn't said, this is the stuff that John the Baptist ate. Verse 7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened. This is John. Doesn't mean others saw it, but John saw it. Saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. When you read the Gospels and you understand that Jesus came on the scene, and they were trying to understand Jesus. John said that someone's coming. He's greater than I am. And I'm not even worthy to reach down and to help him put on his shoes. So they had a very limited understanding of John the Baptist. And they had even a more of a limited understanding when it came to Christ. Even though in the Old Testament there were many things that was prophesied that said the Savior would do, they really were seeing through a glass darkly and didn't really grasp it all. There was the prophet that he would raise up a prophet like unto Moses. And there was Isaiah's prophecies, and how well they put them together is, I'm sure, rather limited in their understanding. And here Jesus, when he comes, after he began his ministry, do you remember when the disciples, and they've just been introduced to Jesus, and they're trying to get to know him, they followed him as he said to do. And then when he was with them in the storm, And he said, peace be still. You remember when they said, what manner of man is this? Just who is this guy? Now, that wasn't a question that was showing that their heart had contempt for him. They were in awe of him, and they were trying to see, who is this guy? They knew the anointing was on him. They knew that he was doing things that in the church, quote, world, or the synagogue, the church really hadn't, was just beginning to be formed. But the synagogue where they met, it had been dead for 400 years. Nothing was happening. No miracles. In fact, when you think about it, it says concerning John, he did no miracles. And yet he was the greatest prophet. That doesn't mean he wasn't spiritual. If you try to understand some of this stuff, you'll go nuts. But he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And he's been out in the wilderness. Has never met Christ. And yet by revelation, when Jesus, though he's his cousin, he sees him. And he's been preaching. Don't forget, there's someone coming that's greater than I. And John was gathering big crowds, bigger than the synagogue. Remember, nothing was happening in the synagogue. In fact, the Pharisees and the rulers at the time, Jesus let us know the depth of their spirituality. They didn't have any. In fact, Jesus one time made a rebuke, and it was when he cast out a devil. Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, how do you guys do it? He wasn't saying and crediting them as though they had cast them out. They weren't. But he was chiding them. And he was revealing that they had no spirituality. They had a lot of the law and a lot of the rules. But when you read St. John chapter 8, his description of them is not one that I would want said about myself. So I want you to see John the Baptist. A lot of people are coming out to hear him. And what do we know about the attitude they had? They're impressed with John. Even though he's not doing miracles, he is full of the Holy Ghost, but I don't think they really understood that. And yet, as John is there preaching repentance, and people are repenting, and he's baptizing them. As he's doing this, and the crowds are gathering, even the Pharisees, the church leaders, were out to observe this. I'm sure they're getting jealous. We know they got jealous when Jesus came on the scene, and I'm sure they weren't too impressed with John. When you're caught up in yourself, you have a hard time being crediting anyone else. He is having quite a impact. Even Herod, though he has not invited him yet, I'm sure began to hear about John the Baptist, because he, a little bit later, invited him to the palace. And there we know when he said some things that it put him in a hard place, because he told him about his sin. But Herod, I'm sure, has heard about John. And what I'm getting at is, when you read the Gospels and you're trying to get, if I was to go back there and to associate with the people and talk amongst them, who is this guy? Well, this is John the Baptist. We think the Scripture said something about him. And he said that someone is coming. But here's what John said that I want us to draw our attention to. John the Baptist said, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Another gospel brings out something else. They were having a difficult time understanding who Jesus is, let alone understand who the Holy Spirit is. So think about that just as we move into this message this morning, because their understanding of the Holy Spirit is rather limited. They know in the Old Testament you can read at times when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Those that read their scriptures and understood it, and we believe that the Jews did, read about how the prophets, how the Spirit of God came upon them. They would read how the Spirit of God came upon Samson. It said, and began to move Samson in the camp of Dan. We know that they were aware of Elijah, who was used by the Spirit of the Lord, and Elisha, and the prophets, and the Holy Spirit gifted them differently. And yet, here comes John, and John is saying, Jesus is coming. But then he turns the attention from Jesus to the Holy Spirit. And they were having a hard enough time trying to understand who Jesus is. What manner of man is this? Let alone the Holy Spirit. So they had a hard time really getting excited about the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus did come, he did talk about himself. But you'll find that even Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit as John did. In fact, Jesus immediately is driven to the wilderness by the Spirit. And when he returns, and the first one he talks to, we have recorded, is Nicodemus. And he talks to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. And then when he meets the woman at the well, he talks to her about the Holy Spirit. And we know that throughout his 3.5 years of ministry, he constantly is referring to the Holy Spirit as John did. But it hasn't got their attention, the Holy Spirit, quite like Jesus did. I think that when he mentioned it, they had a hard enough time trying to figure out who Jesus is, because Jesus is using terminology they had not heard before. Baptize you. John said, I baptize you with water, but one after me, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I think that went right over their head. And even though Jesus, in his 3.5 years of ministry, referred to the Holy Spirit often and talked about it, I believe they believed it, and they even believed Jesus' words. When he said, it's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will... There's that Holy Spirit again. And he will not come. And then they remember Jesus just before going to the cross, or after, where he looked at his disciples and breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. And again, they're trying to get their attention on Jesus. And John talks about Jesus, but also the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about himself, but he also talks about the Holy Spirit. And they are having a hard time getting excited about something they believe. In fact, there's proof of that, for Jesus said when he left, he said, you go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You go wait for the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit again he's referring to. In fact, the reason I'm suggesting they really weren't passionate or excited about the Holy Spirit like they were later is it was evidenced by the angels. As they saw Jesus ascend, the angels said, why stand you there gazing? You should be excited. You should go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. John talked about it. Jesus talked about it. He referred to it. And so they went. I believe that they went knowing that the Lord was going to do something, but they didn't understand just what he was going to do. They went out of obedience, and we give them credit for that. And they believed Christ's words. But I believe they had a limited knowledge trying to understand it. Jesus used words that they hadn't heard before. He will manifest himself. And Jesus, as he, John said, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, they had a limited understanding of the Holy Spirit. And thus, because of the limited understanding, it limited their expectation and their excitement. Remember, 400 years has gone by, and really nothing has been happening in the synagogue. Miracles weren't happening. They talked about the miracles that used to be, but it can get really boring just to show up at church and hear about it and never see it. It can get boring where you show up and nothing ever happens. And you hear about how it happened, but you don't see it happen. That can get old at a certain point. And so I believe there wasn't a lot of excitement within the synagogue. The only excitement, the only game in town was out there with John the Baptist. And that was the only thing that you know, it speaks of us. If God don't do it here, he'll do it out there. And so here's the crowds, and I'm sure there's excitement to some degree. But the Pharisees, they didn't have any anointing in their life. They could not identify with Jesus's or John the Baptist's teaching. And so I've said all that to say this. When they went to the upper room, they went with a excitement, I'm sure, because Jesus did do what he said he would do. And so they went with an excitement, but not knowing really what was going to happen. Have you ever had the world calls it premonition, I call it the Holy Spirit talking to us. Have you ever had a sense something's going to happen, but you don't know what it is? Have you ever felt like the phone's going to ring and then it rings? And depending upon your passion at the time, maybe you're answering the phone like the old song, "Oh dear God, it must be him, it must be him." There is a blessing in expecting. Half of the fun of Christmas is the expectation before you actually open the gift. Wonder what is in that box. When we get older, maybe we lose some of that expectation. Not my mother-in-law. She still is like a six-year-old when there's a present put in front of her. What is this? And my dad, he lost all of the excitement when it came to Christmas. It was, let's just do this and get it over with. And that's no fun when you lose the thrill of anticipation and excitement that you know that something is going to happen. And you're excited that something is going to happen. When you think things are about to happen and you're excited about it, why, that's half the fun. And even though you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know what's inside that gift, half of the fun is just wondering what's in that gift and the excitement leading up to it. How many were excited for the election to get over with? You didn't know who was going to win outside of maybe some prophets that the Lord had revealed it to, but most of us didn't know who was going to win. And to me, it got to where I remember saying, "I'll be glad when this is over." I'm excited, but the excitement is not maybe like what's under the Christmas tree. My friend Leroy Blankenship, who came and sang here, said, "I got a good saying for you to put on the sign." I don't know if I could fit this on the sign. It's pretty long. It said, "Friend, it's not what's under the tree that's nearly as important as who hung on the tree." Well, that's pretty good. In fact, he said, "I got another one for you." The devil said to Jesus, "I'm going to steal your people." And Jesus said, "Over my dead body." That's pretty good. But that's Leroy. But when you are excited about something is going to happen, that's fun. That's really neat when you're excited about, you know, something's going to happen. You don't know what. You don't know. But you know something is going to happen. And that's where these followers of Jesus were at when he said the Holy Spirit's going to come. They didn't understand it all, but they were excited to some degree. I'm sure the three wise men who came from afar following the star, they didn't know what they were going to get and see when they got there. But they knew something was going to be there, and something motivated enough to travel all those hundreds of miles. They didn't know what to expect, but I'm sure they were excited. I remember as youth pastor, when God began to just really bless, and we began to not add, it was almost multiplication. When I remember showing up at church, there was an excitement showing up at the church because things were already happening. They were happening so much, there was an excitement. You'd show up and wonder, what's God going to do now? How many know that's a wonderful place to be at? It's so good when you can show up and say, wow, I wonder what God's going to do now. But when you lose that anticipation, when you lose that excitement, death can set in. And that's what happened in the synagogue. 400 years. And so you can almost see people going through the motions, hearing about it, but never seeing it. That's a horrible place to be at. No wonder we're to fight the good fight of faith and to keep the enthusiasm alive, but you can't talk yourself into something that's not there. I remember when we had a move of God in our church in White Salmon. Things were always happening to some degree, but we had a wind of the Holy Spirit come in for a season. And I mean, it was exciting to go to church. People would show up and the attitude was, what's God going to do? And there was an anticipation. There was an excitement. But oh, pray for the church when it loses that. When it loses the anticipation. When now it's just the motions and now it's just going through it and out of a duty and out of a guilt and out of a sense of, oh, I love the Lord, but there's no excitement. Oh God, let that not happen. Let me come back to when you know something's going to happen, but you don't know what. When you're aware something's going to happen, and I'm talking about not the... it can happen in the negative, well, as you can have the fear of God come upon you. And you can sense, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sensing. And the fear of God came upon the church when Ananias and Sapphira lied against the Holy Ghost. It said fear came upon the church. You know what that means? They thought, boy, I wonder what God's going to do next. I wonder how he's going to judge next. It can happen that way or it can happen another way where God begins to do something and you get accustomed to it. You get used to it and you're exciting. And how many know that excitement is contagious? God don't ever let boredom set in. Because when boredom sets in, death sets in. And oh God, keep us excited and keep us enthused. I want to come back. Have you ever known something was going to happen, but you didn't know exactly what was going to happen? As I was anticipating, and this hasn't just come on me suddenly, this has been building. But as I anticipate the year coming up, 2017, I just want you to know it's going to be an amazing year. I have such an excitement in my heart and such an enthusiasm that I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I have something inside of me that just is expecting something wonderful to happen in Calvary Temple. And I'm not trying to work up positive thinking and no, I have felt this, As I began to look at the year, something began to build inside of me. I didn't understand it. And if you try to figure this stuff out, you'll go nuts. But I am telling you that there is something inside of me that says, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way when God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. Looking to heaven, expecting as they pray. There the pastor goes, making up the words again as he goes. Folks, I hope it rubs off to you. Because there's nothing more discouraging than to show up at a church with the attitude of, I work in the ditch all day long to make me some money, to buy me some bread, to give me some strength, to work in the ditch all day long with that attitude. How many want to see a move of God? I want to say to you, get your hope out, dust it off, and just begin to realize that God is going to do. You say, you just, no. I don't know how or where or what, but folks, I am sensing it. I don't know to who or to how many. I know I'm included, that I know. That something amazing will happen. And I just, every day, I wake up, Lord, you can do it now? You can do it now? And the phone rings, that's it. And folks, I remember in my church, in my early days, and I pray, if you've lost your enthusiasm, ask God to restore it again. If you've lost your expectancy, if you've lost your attitude of, wow, I want to see what God's doing. Death is setting in. Recognize it. Get your hope out. Dust it off. Get your faith out and dust it off and know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to believe God and to believe His Word and to believe His promises. He will do it. And I'm excited about it. Up on my home church was a thing. I'd love to have it somewhere put here. And here's what it said. Expect a miracle. Every day. Does your faith expect a miracle? Does your hope, is it alive? Jesus said the Holy Spirit is coming. Huh? And He kept talking about it. He kept talking about it. And when they went to Jerusalem, I think that the expectancy isn't what made it happen. It was going to happen whether they were expecting it to happen or not. How many know Jesus is coming whether you believe He's coming or not? And when He said the Holy Spirit is coming, it was coming whether they believed it was coming or not. And He will do what He said He would do whether you believe it or not. But you will enjoy the ride a lot more to heaven if you believe it. Because it's a whole lot funner with expectancy than to have doubt. And to fight your doubts and to fight your fears. That's part of the fight, the good fight of faith. And so when they said, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. I can see them. Well, how's that going to happen? They had not a clue when cloven tongues of fire sat upon them. They didn't know that. But they knew something. And as I'm trying to say, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, I've heard from God. And something is going to happen. And I am just as excited as can be. When I went to see Galen Allen with Glenn Coulter, and you're looking for things to talk about. And so I had read and I looked it up and I showed it on my iPad. And it was an article showing a tornado that came and lifted up a mobile home and carried the mobile home 130 miles. There were five Christians inside. And it lifted them up to 1,000 feet. And it carried them 130 miles. And the article stated, and I brought it out and read it to him, said, "Can you believe that? Wow, look at that." And it carried him for 4 hours. And the family is praying in this mobile home, 1,000 feet high, carried 130 miles. And when it began to land, there was somebody on the ground, looked up, and he said, "It looks like an airplane without wings." And here the mobile home landed on a car, smashed the car, and the people were unhurt. Little scratches, they said, for 4 hours, they're seeing this. And so I'm sharing it with them, and we're, "Wow, can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good?" Well, I came home, and like last week's story about the Harley Davidson, that's what I preached. And remember, Snoop said it wasn't true? That story wasn't true either. All men are liars. But people, we're not dealing with some story that's been fabricated. We're dealing with the precious, sure word of prophecy, the word of God, on top of a revelation that I don't lie about this stuff. I am telling you that something wonderful is going to happen in the year 2017. And for that reason, I want you to expect miracles. I want you to expect healings. I want you to expect more souls to be saved. I want you to expect your prayers to be answered. I want you to be able to live as He is the glory and the lifter up of your head, and to know and to walk in faith and to walk in the anointing of God. You're a whole lot funner being around when you have faith and when you have doubt. So, in the year 2017, write it down. It's recorded. Because I'll look back and you'll look back and say, "Pastor said." And I don't lie about this stuff. When I told you you're going to hear good news, it happened. When I told Debbie there's something going on with your job, it was of God. I told Donnie years ago, "I see a change in your work." It happened. And I could go down the road when Barbara, when you came in and I had a word for you, it was detailed. It was true. And one on her husband. I'm telling you, folks, this thing is gonna happen. And be excited about it. And be thrilled. If nothing else, give God the glory and the shout, and let there be a shout in the house. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Would you stand? That's my message for the year 2017. It's a new year. I don't understand. I don't have to. Aren't you glad you don't have to understand it all? If you are a person that requires to understand it all, you may be a person that's bound by having to control things. And if you're a controller, you're not going to walk in faith. And oh, I'm not talking about gullibility. I'm talking about believability. Believe His word and believe His prophets and to believe the Holy Spirit. And it's in the word, but more than just the general promises. Folks, I've heard from God. It's going to be great. But don't wait until it happens to rejoice. Start believing it now. Lord Jesus, we thank You. And Lord, I pray You lift everyone's faith up. I pray, Lord, that what has happened to me will transfer to Your people. I pray, Lord, that our attitude about church will change if it's not been right. I pray, Lord, that You put within us an expectancy. Lord, an expectancy. God's going to do something. And it's always good. And it's always great. And He always does it in such an incredible way. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit do that in Your people. And Lord, let the Spirit of God quicken. For it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by positive thinking. As much as I believe in being positive, we walk at a different level. We walk by the Spirit of God. Last night, as I have tried for the last 45 years, I have always had a goal of praying from 12 to 2 in the morning. And again, last night, praying from 12. I started passing out at 1:30. But I'm feeling it, people. You say, you can't go on feelings. Well, you don't know your Bible. I'm not talking about feelings that are not backed up, but I'm talking about feelings quickened by the Holy Spirit. Believe God's word. Turn to somebody and say, amen. Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Sing the song. What? What are they?
I just feel like something good is
on its way.
He has promised that he'd open all.